my name. He's Bartimaeus, and no one cares if I leave or die. All day long I just sit here begging while people, they walk on by. Oh, but today I heard someone whisper, they said Jesus was passing through. No, I heard that.
This morning, if the Lord has touched you in your life, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for the touch of salvation that the Lord saved me, picked me up, turned me around, and I've been going the opposite way for 20 years now. And praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for all those additional touches that He gives me and He gives you. We serve a Lord this morning who is a way maker. He is one who knows how to make a way for you in your life when it seems like you're at a dead end. I know we say that all the time, but I think we just kind of hear it, and it just lands where it lands. But truly, truly this morning, God can make a way for you when it seems like there is no way. And so we praise the Lord for our way maker this morning. Praise the Lord for you being here. Good to see everybody. Just want to say that this time last week, we had a wonderful homecoming. And praise the Lord for that. Brother Snyder brought a tremendous message. I thank him for the message that he brought on last week. And then Monday, our choir was over at Victory, and we just packed in there and sang the choir songs that we had, and really enjoyed ourselves. Brother Tom Hayes brought a tremendous message then, so we enjoyed that. But it's so good to be here this morning. And just ready to worship the Lord and see what He has for us in song and in His Word. I do want to mention a couple things, and I tell you what, ushers, if you'll go ahead and make your way down forward, we're going to do a two-in-one this morning, and of course, Brother Allen is on vacation. He's either still there or coming back, one or the other, and the Martins are away as well, so miss them, love them, pray for traveling mercies for them, and so that's why I'm leading choir this morning. In case you didn't know, this isn't Allen up here. This is Justin. And so, but I always enjoy leading choir when there's a need there to be filled. So we're going to take up the offering in just a moment. Mary Kelly was in the hospital. She's home now. She's doing better. And praise the Lord for that. But let's remember Tandy Barrett, Miss Glenda's brother, getting ready, trying to get cleared for a gallbladder surgery. And so let's please remember him in our prayers. There's some heart issues, things going on there. And so they're trying to clear him for that. So let's certainly remember him on that. Of course, Miss Dolores Palmer, spoke with her this week, and she's continuing on, getting a little better each day. And so praying for her. Let's remember her. Brother Leonard. Leonard had some physical issues going on. But he says, I'm not going to worry about mine right now. I want to take care of Miss Dolores. And so, as a good husband would do and say. But let's remember Brother Leonard in our prayers. Let's remember everyone on our prayer list in its entirety. Pick up a bulletin, please, in the foyer, behind you, or down front, right behind Miss Catherine is a bulletin. I do want to say this. We have a church yard sale date. Church yard sale. That's going to be on Saturday, October the 21st, and it's going to be within the time frames of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. And just want to clarify and emphasize that this church yard sale, all the proceeds are going for the painting of this hallway here and the improvements, the renovations of that. That's what all the money is going for. So if you plan on participating, just make a mental note of that we're all giving it for this cause of upgrading some things around the church. And so remember that. I do have more information, some particulars coming to you for those who are participating here at a later date. So just remember that. That's Saturday, October 21st. And trying to raise some money to get some things modernized around here. But also, that's a ministry outreach. Trying to invite people to church. Trying to even cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. Maybe they'll see the smoke rising and smell it in Powder Springs and come this way. And so just trying to reach out to the community, let them know we're here and that we would love to have them come be with us. And so just remember that. All right, well, let's bless the offering this morning. And then we have a song or two more, actually three, to sing this morning. Got another solo. Got a choir song that's going to involve you. And then we're going to leave you with an all-time favorite choir song this morning. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for all things, God. Thank you, Lord, for those who came out this morning. The weather was dreary, but they still came, Lord, because they need a word from you. Lord, they want to feel your presence this morning. They want to be encouraged. So I pray that you'll do that this morning through song, through the message, that you'll give light, that you'll encourage. Father, is my prayer. And I pray that you bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church. Also for the support of our missionaries. Father, we're always mindful of them. And God, be with all of these that we mentioned in prayer concerning their health. Be with Tandy. Be with Mary Kelly. Lord, be with Dolores and Leonard and all the rest who are not well physically and or mentally, Father, this morning. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
How about we stir some things up right quick this morning? We're going to do an old camp meeting style song, which involves everyone, called Glory, 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 Somebody Touched Me. Now, we're going to go through the days of the week, Monday through Sunday, and whatever day, if you're saved, whatever day you got saved on, just stand with us and remain standing. If you don't remember what day you got saved on, then just stand up on Sunday. And if you're not saved this morning, then you could just keep your seat. But this is a good song. We did it one other time since I've led choir, so I think it'll be good. Y'all ready? Remain seated, yeah. All right, here we go. Clap with us. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me. It was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Wednesday, somebody touched me. It was on a Wednesday, somebody touched me. It was on a Wednesday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Thursday, somebody touched me. It was on a Thursday, somebody touched me. It was on a Thursday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Friday, somebody touched me. It was on a Friday, somebody touched me. It was on a Friday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Saturday, somebody touched me. It was on a Saturday, somebody touched me. It was on a Saturday, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. Must have been the course. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. You may be seated all through the house. Thank you, thank you. Love that, love that. All right, we have a special asked Lily to sing one for me, for us this morning. So you pray for her as she sings this morning. Listen to the words of the song.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, my circumstances will change. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the power of His Spirit is now forever yours. Come believe it, come receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, all things are possible. Circumstances will change. I pray that the fear and sorrow would flee in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
No one knew how alone I've been feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard just to hide. Though I laughed and said that my life was fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you are washed, they're all Yes, it's true, there've been days when I failed you. And Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sin
Lord, for the singing this morning. Brother Harold, you got a word?
Yes, I want to praise the Lord for these singers we've got here, but especially for the musicians.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Harold. Yes, thank God for the talent that we have. And, of course, you know, visit many churches. Yeah, you better take them to lunch. Visit many churches out there, and every church is not in the same position as we are. And a lot of churches, it's cold, and just they're doing without. And but I'm glad here at Calvary we have such a team as we do, and our singers and all. I want to encourage you to make it back this evening for the evening service. Tonight we're going to be completing part two in our family functions message. And we're going to talk about the role of the grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, and the church. There are Bible principles that talk about that, their role when it comes to children and the family. And I got a couple specials lined up tonight. A couple people going to sing a couple songs. And so we're looking forward to tonight's service. Do want to mention this before we make our way into the Word. Miss Lee Ellen is retired. She's retired. And her retirement party, get together, however you want to phrase it, will be on Saturday, this coming Saturday, in the Fellowship Hall from 2 to 4. And Miss Lee Ellen worked at Bank of America. I don't want to get this wrong. How many years? I knew that. 45. 45 years. And my grandparents were very fond of Miss Lee Ellen and did business with her there at the bank for many years. And so that is something special. And so congratulations, Miss Lee Ellen, on your on a job well done. And making it possible for all the rest of us to cash our checks. And appreciate that. And much more, of course. If you have your Bibles this morning, make your way to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. Verse 18, very familiar verse. 2 Peter, chapter number 3, verse 18. I do want to just bow for a quick word of prayer, kind of change gears and reset the table, so to speak. Father, we bow our heads this morning with gratefulness and thankfulness of the good spirit that's here. You're always here, God, because where there's two or three, you're here. Whether it's just me here, you're here, because you're in me, you're in individuals. But Father, this morning I pray for a special touch. I pray, God, that you would touch my mind and quicken my mind and my spiritual thinking. Pray, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to every heart that's here. This is the moment we've been waiting for. There is a message that needs to be preached this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. Now help me get out of the way. Father, I pray that you will be clearly seen through the pages of your word into our ears and into our hearts. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Peter, chapter number 3, verse 18. Of course, this is the last verse in chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. tells us in this verse through the apostle's pen, Peter, to grow. To grow. God wants us to
grow spiritually in our lives this morning. If you've been saved for 10 years,
have you grown spiritually? At this point in a 10-year-old's life, 10 years old physically, they should be riding bikes and climbing trees. It would be unusual and abnormal for a 10-year-old to be sleeping in a bassinet and chewing on a teething block. That would be abnormal and unusual. Many times that's what a spiritual, immature person is like. Someone who is spiritually immature. They should be progressing, but they're regressing. So my prayer is today, Lord, help all of us progress and not regress in our walk with God. Like the old saying goes, let us act our age and not our shoe size. Of course, unless you're Shaquille O'Neal, because he has a big shoe size. Let us act our age and not our shoe size. Spiritual immaturity, I believe we all could agree with this, is the biggest problem in the church. Also, immaturity in general is the biggest problem in school, work, and the world. We get into trouble by saying immature things. By making immature decisions, acting in immature ways. The problem with the world and the church is immaturity, both spiritually and just being mature. So we need to become mature and spiritually mature. This morning I want to preach for a few moments on this topic, this subject, and that is marks of maturity. Marks of maturity. Now, I believe every sermon that is preached, every lesson that is taught ought to have an intention. There ought to be a reason why we share what we share. The intention of the lesson this morning is to confirm and to challenge. Is to confirm our maturity spiritually, if we're mature, but also to challenge us if we're not spiritually mature. So I want to give five marks of maturity, five marks to strive for, to strive for. Spiritual maturity this morning takes time, just like it takes time for a newborn baby to grow. I'll just use Lily for an illustration. She's getting ready. Next Saturday, she'll be turning 16 years old. And the day that she was born, I remember, I held her in my arms, and she was wrapped in swaddling clothes, like a little football. She was just this little, and I was actually scared to hold her because I thought I was going to break her if I held her. And so I picked her up, and I was like this, holding her just like this. And you remember that, don't you, when you was born that day? But now, 16 years later, she's behind the wheel, turning blinkers and turning a steering wheel. And so pray for us there, please. Not saying she's a bad driver, but she's drove in the parking lot of the church. She's drove at Taylor Farm. But the day comes when we pull out of the church and get into traffic is the day I need your prayers. She needs your prayers, so just remember that. But she's a great driver. But that's the progression. We progress. And so is the same idea spiritually. The day we got saved, we were newborn babes in Christ. And we We were fed from the milk of the Word. And then gradually we graduated to more of a type of food that's more has more substance to it. So we graduated to the meat of the Word. And so that's the direction we should be going in, is forward and not backwards. And so, five marks of maturity, or five marks to strive for. Again, spiritual maturity takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. No one matures overnight. Always remember that. Even Jesus grew up. Don't turn there, but Luke 2, verse number 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So if Jesus grew up in wisdom and stature, same for us. We too are growing up physically, but also in the area of wisdom and maturity. Number one, the first mark of maturity is this: being positive under pressure. Make your way to James chapter number 1 if you could, and if you would. One mark of maturity is being positive under pressure. James chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Here it is. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various hardships or trying times. He tells us to count it all joy. Wait a minute. Nobody enjoys hardships, do we? No, I don't. And so what is James talking about here? Well, let me first say this. When you go to the doctor and the doctor says, "All right, Sonny, you need a shot today." I wouldn't say, "Yippee, I get a shot. And I don't even care where he shoots me at. I get a shot. I love when I feel needles going to my skin." No, we don't say that. But we bear it, and we grin and we bear it. And we allow them to give us that shot because we know there's something in that syringe that's good for us. And so James, in like manner, is saying there is nothing great, there's nothing fun or enjoyable about hardships. But the idea is that God is giving us something. God is doing something for us and to us and one day through us in our hardships. Look at verse 3. He says, knowing what? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so he's saying that this hardship you're going through is a tool that God is using to develop patience in your life. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God this morning wants us to be a patient people. And I'll tell you one reason why. Because sometimes the wheels in heaven move slow. Sometimes what God has for us, listen, it isn't just going to come overnight. Sometimes it's down the road. Sometimes it's even years down the road. And so we have to be a patient person. It is called walking with God. It's day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, walking with Him. Going through trials, going through dilemmas, being stretched in our faith, wondering what's going to happen. And all the while, God is using this as a tool to work patience and develop a stronger faith as well in our lives. Verse number 4, he says, "But let patience have her perfect work." Key word here, that. He says, He says, I know you don't enjoy it, but look at it this way, that God is at work in your life, and just let him do what he's going to do, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so God is getting us to a place of contentment. Contentment. How many times when things are great, we rejoice? I rejoice when things are great. But when things are bad, I'm learning how to rejoice. And so God wants to get me to a place, you to a place, whether things are going great or whether things are going terrible, that we are content knowing that God is in full control, and whatever we're experiencing, he is using to develop faith and patience in our life. You've heard this before. But we just have to say it again and again and again. We're talking about marks of maturity. Earlier I said that spiritual maturity takes time. It takes energy and effort. No one matures overnight. And we certainly don't mature in the area of rejoicing or counting our struggles all joy. We certainly don't develop that overnight. It takes time. And so James tells us to have a positive attitude when it comes to pressure. The test of spiritual maturity is how do you respond to difficulty? Again, it's not always easy to respond the right way when life is tough. It's not always easy to do that. It takes time. When life is rough, we don't get excited because we love trouble, but there can be a level of anticipation because God is up to something in our life. He is growing us up. Whether you're a toddler, a teen, a young adult, whether you're an older adult, God is working, or should be working if you let him, in your life. Life this morning. Life is full of troubles. Life is full of problems. And a big part of troubles and problems is problem solving. Problem solving. Do we have the right attitude when trying to solve our problems in life? A positive attitude under pressure is a mark of spiritual maturity. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Psalm 23, verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How did he get to the place of not wanting anything? By going through the things that he went through. That's how we got to a place of being content. So you and I, we go through things. We row our boats in the darkest and stormiest of nights. And we learn some things and we reflect on some things. And then we get to a place of realizing that God is in control. Whatever comes in my life is first filtered through his hands. And he is developing something great in me and in you. Being positive under pressure. Let me move on. Not only a mark of maturity is being positive under pressure, but number two, being sensitive to the needs of others. Being sensitive to the needs of others. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. This is a mark of spiritual maturity, someone who's sensitive to the needs of others. 1 John 3:17, the Bible says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So it tells us if we have the love of God in us, and if we are children of God, then we're going to be sensitive to our neighbor. A spiritually mature person is sensitive to the needs of others around them. This spiritually mature person doesn't just look out for their own needs. Amen. A spiritually mature person is sensitive. They don't just look after themselves. We are living in a selfish generation. We are living in a generation where it's about me, myself, and I. There are narcissists everywhere you go. People who are self-absorbed and they're just all about themselves. What can benefit me? What will make me look good? What's going to happen to me if this happens? Just arrogant, proud. The Bible says natural brute beast. A narcissist is someone who just is so self-absorbed, their attitude just stinks when you're around them. Well, I wasn't going to say it, but I am. Y'all know I try to hold back and I can't. Anyway, I'm thinking of one who doesn't go to church here, not a member, had never been a member here, just someone recently I was in contact with, and I mean, they were just proud. Well, hey, what about this? Well, what'd you do? Can I do? No, I can't do this, do that. I got to do this, and you need to straighten out this. You need to do this. It's just on and on. And when I left, I was like, whew. I was like, man. He said he wanted to talk to me, ask me how I was doing. And the only thing that he talked about was himself. And I left so drained, I just wanted to go to bed. Narcissist. And one thing about narcissists, many of them don't know or don't think they're narcissistic. This morning, let us be sensitive to the needs of others. And listen, it's not always financial needs of others that people may struggle with. It's sometimes it's a broken heart. Sometimes it's a bewildered mind. Sometimes people have a troubled spirit. Sometimes people suffer from depression, discouragement. And so the spiritually mature person will not just look at themselves, but they will focus on others. Focus on others. And so spiritual immaturity says, it's my way or the highway. I want it all. Spiritual maturity says, it's not about me, it's about Jesus and others. Do you know what the definition of joy is? The J stands for Jesus. The O stands for others. The Y stands for yourself. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And if you do that, you, my friend, will be a joyful person. You ever noticed how people that always talk about themselves and what could benefit them and everything they want, they just never get what they want? They're just miserable people. They never achieve their ultimate goal of getting, getting, getting. Let us be people who are sensitive to the needs of others. God tells us spiritual maturity is about love, concern for others, not showing favoritism, not being rude, not looking down upon people, not judging by appearance, no insults, no exploits. That's what Jesus says. That's how we are to be in our behaviors. That's spiritual maturity. I guess we could just stand back and say, let's just treat people well. Has anybody here, I'm pretty sure everybody, most people have, but the older movie Fireproof. Did you see Kirk Cameron? Fireproof. Love that. Love that. I love the Courageous movies and all the rest. There's a book that was based on that movie, Fireproof, called The Love Dare. Anybody heard about the book, Love Dare? It was actually in the movie, The Love Dare. And it was used in the movie, for Kirk Cameron to follow this devotional for 30 days, showing one act of love toward his wife every day for 30 days. It had scripture with each day, just a love dare every day. No reason other than just trying to love your wife, and in his situation, trying to win his wife back over. So it was intended for spouses. But I think it'd be good from time to time for the church to do the love dare for each other. Because sometimes in life we just get so busy doing our own thing, thinking about us, and there may be people who are brokenhearted on our right. There may be people who are bewildered on our left. We may even have some favoritism going on. We may even be rude, and there may be times where we judge by appearance. But at any rate, a spiritual mark of maturity is someone who reaches across the aisle and shakes a hand and says, "How you doing today, neighbor? How you doing today?" Turn, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, just for a moment. We're going to hit it and go. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1, Paul speaking about love here. And he says, though, he says, "I've got some abilities. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing." That's what the Bible says. Paul spoke to us and told us that it doesn't matter what you know, your status quo, doesn't matter about degrees, doesn't matter about abilities, it doesn't even matter if you give your life as a physical sacrifice. It is meaningless if it's not earned or girded with love. With love. A spiritually mature person is someone who loves the brethren and sistern, is someone who is always looking across the aisle trying to shake a hand. And so we have the second mark, being sensitive to the needs of others. Let me mention another one. The third mark of maturity in the spiritual realm is being a peacemaker. A peacemaker. Matthew 5:9, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. I do want you to turn to James, kind of a Bible drill this morning, but James chapter number 4. Being a peacemaker is a mark of spiritual maturity. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You want to see a genuine child of God? Then you'll see someone who is at peace and one who strives for peace and is at peace with man. And because of these of the children of God that are genuine and are peacemakers, they have peace in their own lives. James chapter number 4, in verse 1 through 3, we see that the opposite of peace is trouble. And so James says this, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He says there's trouble everywhere. There's fightings, there's war. Can't we agree this morning that you turn on the news, and I mean there's wars, there's somebody getting shot. Wars overseas, there's war in our streets, there's fightings. I'm sure you could tell some stories about your family life, some unresolved issues right now maybe, or some friends or school or work. There's this trouble, there's fighting, there's things going on. We're living in a troubled world. And so he says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" He says there is wars on the outside, but the origin of all the wars is from the inside. "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." So James says we fuss, we fight, and we fume because of inner desires. We don't get what we want. We get mad. We take it out on others. The question I'm proposing this morning is this. Are we peacemakers or troublemakers? Those watching on Facebook, are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Like I said the other Wednesday night, I said, are we a boat rower or boat rocker? That's the question. A spiritual mark, a mark of true spirituality is someone who's not a troublemaker, but a peacemaker. And James says the struggle over this, it's not about the environment, it's not about anybody else, it starts from within. He says some of the things that we're asking for to God and wanting in life, we're asking amiss. That we may, in other words, we're asking selfish things and things that may benefit us but no one else. He says we need to get the inside right. He says, be a peacemaker. A peacemaker. This is a mark of spiritual maturity. Being a peacemaker. Are we peacemakers or troublemakers? Let me mention a fourth thing this morning. Let me say this before I say that. We're talking about peace and being at peace with man. On the same token, I do understand this morning that we can't always live at peace with man. You may try to make things right with someone, and that's all you can do. If they don't gravitate back towards you, that's not your problem, that's theirs. And so the idea is to try to be a peacemaker, but we can't always be at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18 tells us that. Live peaceably with all men as much as possible that lives, that's on the inside of you or within you. Try as much as you can to be at peace with others. A spiritually mature person is a peacemaker. Number four, a fourth mark of spiritual maturity is being patient. Y'all with me this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Another mark of spiritual maturity is being patient. James chapter number, we're in James chapter 5, verse number 7 and 8. Listen to this. James 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He goes on and mentions some other things here, but in verse number 7 and 8, he's talking about patience. He uses the word three times in these two verses. Patience is a mark of spiritual maturity. But James gives this illustration of a farmer. Let's think about farmers for a second. Farmers have to be patient people. And he gives this illustration. The farmer, he plants. The farmer cultivates. The farmer sprays. The farmer hopes. The farmer expects. The farmer waits. The life of a farmer is preparing and waiting. There are no overnight crops, you know. I can't remember the last study I did on certain fruit trees, but I remember one time I looked at how long does it take to, when you plant a peach tree, for it to grow and get peaches off of it. And what I read, at least 5 to 10 years. I mean, something like that. And then you look at some of these oak trees. I know there's, at least last time I drove by Floyd Road, there was that oak tree behind Brother Berman and Miss Carol's house where they stayed, the parsonage. And that oak tree, I don't know how long it's been there, but it's been there for a long time. Weathered many storms, and still there. But it took a long time to get to that point where it could stand those storms. It has everything to do with the root system, and it has everything to do with development and careful attention. And so this farmer, when he goes to plant his crops, he plants, he cultivates, sprays, hopes, expects, and waits. He knows there's not going to be an oak tree there the next day. He knows there's not going to be a peach tree or a pear tree. But he's looking at the finished product. He's waiting. He's expecting. We wait on God to answer prayer. We wait for a miracle to happen. We wait for God to move, for God to supply, for God to guide. The only way to learn patience is through waiting. Are you waiting on God to do something in your life? Are you waiting on something to work out at home? Are you waiting on school to get better? Are you waiting on work to get better? Are you waiting on things to change and be more in your benefit? And you prayed about it and asked God about it, but seemingly God is not listening to you because it is prolonged and you're stressed and strained. Feel like you're going to snap. God sometimes has us in the waiting room. And just because there's a delay doesn't mean that's a denial. There's reasons for what God does. I mean, what do you do with the story of Lazarus? He was dead. Jesus knew he was sick and growing sick unto death, and he stayed where he was at. But then when he arrived 4 days later, Lazarus come forth, and he came forth. But there's a statement in that story that says, this is going to happen for the glory of God. Sometimes Jesus, if I could say it this way, like the old song goes, sometimes Jesus is 4 days late, but he's still on time. Something in your life seems gone and dead even symbolically. God is up to something. Just keep waiting. He wants you to learn patience so that you'll be ready for what you're waiting on. Sometimes we want things quickly and fast. I know I do. I want things fast. And when I, for example, I'll order something off of Amazon or eBay. And let's just say eBay. Let's just say it's a Braves card. And man, I want that Braves card so bad. I know that seems weird to some of y'all. I'm a grown man trying to find a hobby, okay? That's all. I want that Braves card because it makes me happy. And then when I get it, and I get happy, and I'm not happy anymore, I'll sell it back on eBay. That's my cycle, okay? You know, if I ain't got no money to buy nothing, I don't buy nothing. The only thing about eBay is sometimes it could take a week or two to get to you. And so what I do is I jump on Amazon. I don't shop for baseball cards on Amazon because they're outrageous. But I'll shift my mind from cards to something else I might want. Of course, if the money's there. And you can look on there, it says overnight, it'll be right on your doorstep. And I'm pressing purchase, purchase, purchase. You know, one time I was on the hunt for even Mountain Dew Baja Blast Zero. They weren't in the stores nowhere, but I wanted it so bad. And I looked at it online and on Amazon, and had it in my buggy. And I was actually going to the grocery store, and I was just getting ready to buy it because it said it'd be at my house in the morning, but I found it over at Eagles. The thing is, we just don't want to wait. Silly illustrations, but we're all human here. We know what it's like to want something and not get it. What do you want in your life that you're not getting? Are you trying? Are you praying? Are you doing everything you possibly can? If you are, it's just, and the answer is not being delivered. It's just not time yet. Be patient, like the farmer. Plant, cultivate. Spray, hope, expect, wait. There are no overnight crops. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Or wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God can strengthen your heart while you're waiting. He stretches and strengthens the heart. And so being patient this morning is a spiritual mark. It's a mark of being spiritually mature. Let me mention one more. Last but not least, for sure, last but not least, the fifth mark of spiritual maturity is being prayerful. Don't turn me off just yet. We hear a lot on prayer. But the spiritually mature prays. When things are going good, pray. When things are going bad, pray. In all things, pray. And when you pray, pray. When things are good, pray. Things are bad, pray. In all things, pray. But certainly when you pray, pray. What I mean by that is don't play games with God when you're praying. Lord Jesus Christ, let me down to sleep. Praise the Lord, my soul. Keep me awake. Praise the Lord, my soul. Take. Thank you, Lord, for this meal. Bless me, nourish my body, your service. God, praise be among people. Hey, sometimes I do that, but I don't want to. And I found out that if I set aside some time and if I'm going to pray, I need to pray. Unrushed. Time set aside. If you feel like it's going to be too rushed and you're going to be quick-like, I mean, some prayer is better than no prayer, but I would almost say just set aside some time where you know you can take your time and call on God. Just talking about talking to the Lord. And whenever it's unrushed and it's intentional and you pray, great things can happen. He doesn't always remove our mountain in front of us, but He certainly gives us strength to climb that mountain. We're in James. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual or the energetic, fervent, earnest, sincere, the energetic or operative, earnest, sincere prayer of a righteous man availeth much or is serviceable. That word availeth means either serviceable or it also can mean production. It means that it's working. And so the energetic, the wholehearted prayer, when we pray like that with earnestness, those kind of prayers touch heaven and they're serviceable. And the Bible gives us an illustration here. Listen to this. We're about through. Verse number 17. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. He prayed energetically, unrushed, just thoroughly. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Number one, prayer is talking to God, thanking Him and asking Him. But let me just say this as we come to get a song together. Elijah prayed it would not rain in verse 17. The Bible says, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Listen to this. God controlled the elements due to His energetic, earnest, sincere prayer. God, let it not rain. And it didn't rain. I'm not saying this morning that we could say, God, let it not rain, and expect it not to rain. I'm not saying, God, let it rain and expect it to rain. Of course, we could ask for those things. But Elijah prayed that it may not rain, and God controlled the elements. It didn't rain. prayer is a mark of true spiritual maturity, because there's times in life where life is falling apart. We need God to move. Don't know when He is. We do know He can. But we pray for Him to control the elements. Control the elements, Lord. Lord, my life is wrecked. My life is ruined. It's not where I want it to be. God, will You control the elements, the particulars, the things I can't see, the things that I need to line up, Lord, please control the elements. That's what Elijah did. He prayed that God will control the elements. God can control the elements in your life. He made elements. He can control them. So that's the lesson this morning. Marks of maturity. And again, we see being positive under pressure, being sensitive to the needs of others, being a peacemaker, being patient, being prayerful. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for the truth that's in Your word. Father, I pray that You would just minister to hearts. And if someone needs to come, Lord, let them come. Let them do business with You. We're all here to support one another and certainly not watch and stare and make fun of. So give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning? And if you need to come and pray about anything, you want to come and praise the Lord, please feel free to play as Brother David plays.